It was in November, wasn't it, of last year in Austria that you were rushed to hospital.
Yeah.
It's a slightly overused phrase, but I think in this case it was accurate. After complaining of chest pains, I follow you on Twitter, and two things struck me. You were scared, I think, and the upsurge of support and love that emerged on Twitter was pretty remarkable.
Well, it was phenomenal. It's been phenomenal since. Just by way of people stopping me in the street and saying, "You look well, we're so glad you're better," and stuff. I mean, really, very touching, you know, really, real genuine concern for my health. And,
how ill were you, George?
Well, I was, I nearly died, you know.
You shouldn't laugh. I'm laughing at the accent, not the information.
I nearly died. You know, did you ever see Nighty Night?
Yes, of course, with
Julia Davis.
Yes, Julia Davis.
Yeah, well, I think it should be compulsory viewing for everybody, but especially every gay man, because it's the funniest thing I think I've ever seen. And, this is a little bit of a story for you. Basically, I was on tour, and at the time, I had a friend with me from Australia, who our most bonding experience has been watching Nighty Night over and over, and doing the accent, doing the West Country accent, right?
I'm glad you've explained.
So, I swear to God, I swear this is true, I came out of my coma talking in this West Country accent. Hiya, Kath. Do you remember that?
Yes,
hiya,
of course,
Kath.
I do, yeah.
And
she's
and
a sort of psychotic suburban,
yeah, she's
for people who haven't seen
trying,
the show.
Yeah, she's basically, well, when I saw the first episode, I thought, I really shouldn't be laughing at this.
Mm.
It was really uncomfortable because basically it's the story of a woman who's trying to nick her next door neighbor's husband. Even though her next door neighbor, this poor woman, has multiple cirrhosis, she has decided to take advantage of the situation.
Yes, it's dark.
And to steal Angus Tate. It's very dark indeed. But the strange thing was, and I swear this is true, the first question, and I did it all, and apparently I did this for days, but the first question they asked me, you know when they do the thing, you see it on the TV all the time, do you know who you are, George, do you know who you are? And apparently, I said, the first thing I said when I woke up was, they said, do you know who you are? And I said, King of the World? Right. Apparently that's really true. I didn't know that for months afterwards.
Crikey.
But the thing was, what happened was, I actually scared everybody the first, obviously with the illness, but then when I woke up, I spoke, and apparently I did about 2 days stand-up comedy that was all based on 99.
It was just there somewhere in your brain.
It was just there somewhere in my brain. I was talking in this West Country accent all the time. It was a bit like that.
That's quite scary, because there are stories about people coming out of brain trauma and never getting their normal voice back.
Exactly. My sisters, who were obviously so relieved that I'd actually woken up, were just laughing away at this kind of this stand-up comedy, and the doctors were worried that I had this condition where, you know, some people wake up speaking French or something, some language they learned at school or whatever. Mine was 2 days of this kind of vaguely Bristolian.
Good grief! Kind of, so it would have been like a Wurzel new single.
Yeah, I could have talked like that all the way through my life. But
there's nothing wrong for our listeners in the West Country.
There's nothing wrong with it at
all. Unless you've talked like this for the previous 40-odd years of your
life. Yeah, exactly. But genuinely, the doctors were worried that I had this condition. And I was just kind of not quite conscious enough to know what I was doing. And my sisters were laughing their heads off with relief, obviously. But the doctors are sitting there going, oh my God, he's got that thing. He's got that, you know, he's got brain damage. You know, but luckily it wasn't that. It was just an unfortunate coincidence.
But it was, it was serious. Did you have a tracheotomy?
I did. Do you want to see the scar?
Yes, I would, actually.
See?
Good grief. Good grief. And it hasn't affected the voice at all, judging by the light.
No, it hasn't. No, it really hasn't at all, hasn't it?
In fact, if anything, the new track is a sort of slightly return to some of your
Don't dare say return to form.
No, it's not a return to form, because you've never lost form, but it's
definitely a return to kind of an earlier perspective.
What I meant to say.
Yeah.
It's a return to an earlier perspective,
yes,
George.
That's what you meant to say, wasn't it?
Yes.
Not a return to form.
No.
But no, the truth of it is that actually the rest of the music on this album is very similar in that it will remind people of me in earlier days when all I really cared about was writing a hit record.
Yes.
You know, and a lot of my records in the years since the 80s have been kind of the records that tapped you on the shoulder and said, well, have a couple of listens and you'll get hooked. as opposed to the faith era, which was just
grab you straight away,
yeah,
and not let you go.
And many of the tracks on the new album are very much in that vein. You know, I kind of dare you not to like me.
Yeah, Listen Without Prejudice probably being the bridge between those two eras.
Yeah.
And this track is probably would sit quite comfortably on that album, perhaps.
I don't know. I honestly think. I mean, I think Older will probably always be my favourite album of mine.
Mm.
But I think this is probably the intention behind White Light and this album. Is far closer to faith in some ways.
And that is a higher recommendation as it's possible to give for a fan like me and already the hundreds of thousands of people listening and passing on their good wishes. You seem, speaking of sort of returns to previous territory.
Yeah.
That's all right, isn't it? Previous territory.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's not an insult.
You've shrugged off and you've had a bit of a nightmare at the hands of the newspapers over the years, and yet, again, relying on Twitter, you do genuinely seem to have risen above it all with a sense of disgust, obviously, at some of the things that happened to you, but almost a resignation.
Yeah. I think it's a very... There are things that I would really love to say, I'm not quite ready to say, but there are things about the whole Murdoch, and as you can imagine, I'm delighted that the man has lived long enough to see what's happened, because I've actually been on Murdoch watch since I was about 19, honestly, watching this man and believing he was truly the most evil character on the planet, you know, and that he had worked his way through the media to become the most... the most powerful yet unelected man in the world. And when you get to the point that you can swing an election after a disastrous war like Iraq, you know, I've read pieces that reckon that he added 4 million votes to the Republicans' cause, as it were, after the war, simply by his use of Fox News and his use of the religious right. And I'd been watching this man wrecking our media for years and years and just trying to explain to people, and they didn't even know who Rupert Murdoch was. I'm so glad he's lived to see this kind of humiliation, because he truly deserves it, you know.
It's glad that you're not sitting on the fence.
No, well, I tell you, if I actually told you, and I'm not
well,
quite ready
to... Well, let's do it when you are. Let's do it when you are ready, because this presumably explains why you haven't gone to the Leveson Inquiry.
Well, you see, the Leveson Inquiry, I find unbearable to because I don't think you can tell me this, actually, you would know this, I've asked other people this, but actually in front of a select committee or a panel like the Leveson Inquiry, it's not actually perjury, is it, if you lie? Is it legal perjury?
I don't think it is.
I don't think it is,
because you're not... It's a quasi-judicial inquiry,
isn't it?
It's not a court.
My point about the Leveson Inquiry is I was so sick of watching these people lying through their teeth, one after another, and knowing that they were not going to be prosecuted for it. And my point was, it asked me to because believe me, I have stuff to contribute. But I was thinking, you ask me this when they're in a court of law.
Right.
And believe me, I'll be there.
Yes.
Because there are things that happened to me over the last 7 or 8 years. Actually, since 2003, when I campaigned against the Iraq war with the Daily Mirror.
Do you think there was a link then? Do you think
that
your political involvement in things actually made you more... Because, I mean, historically, when you were 19, it would have been your sexuality that they were interested in.
No, but this was what happened was that from the point that I really, really pissed him off, which was to go with the Daily Mirror and say all this stuff.
Because they're a newspaper rival.
Of course,
yes,
yeah.
Of course.
But more importantly, I think Rupert Murdoch knows exactly the power of celebrity. He knows that it's very dangerous when celebrities decide to get involved, because in general, let's be honest, they don't. They are all too worried about their next Hello cover or OK cover or wherever they're going next to actually express their views.
So you're in a position of great power in that you're not trying to claw your way up the greasy pole. You scaled it quite a long time ago, which gives you a certain confidence to stand up to the man.
I think the other thing which is very important about it is that I don't have children to protect. I don't have a family that I'm responsible for. I am a dangerous individual in that respect, because I'm responsible for myself.
You're cut loose in the purest sense. You are a free agent.
And also because I'd already been so globally humiliated by I mean, I promise you, the day that I got arrested in Los Angeles, the beginning of all of this, the scandal, and my coming out, the day that that happened, because it was all organized between the News of the World and the, or the Sun, yeah, and the LA police, believe me, it was a setup, right? I mean, I've admitted to people before that I was part of that setup and I did it to myself. But the day that they actually succeeded in outing me, the Sun newspaper closed down for the afternoon and had a party.
George Michael with me live in the studio on LBC 97.3.